Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from the Old and New Testaments and a reflection. Our readings today are taken from Genesis 41 verses 25 to 45 and Galatians 3 verses 23 to chapter 4 verse 7. The reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz entitled Hope in Our Heart.
So let's start today. We are celebrating Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, 2nd century after Jesus Christ. So digging a little bit, he seems to have been a follower of John the Apostle. So it's like the second generation of Christian leaders after the Apostle, and they're often called the Church Fathers. So he was very influential, one of the main character, and there are other writings than our New Testament and other letters, and the only surviving document from him is called the Letter to the Philippians. So I think it's the Philippians. Let me see again. I might need to find. But it would be interesting to see how some of those churches that we hear in the New Testament they have received other letters or documents in the after the second generations, and to hear a little bit about what the situation was in those areas following the letters of the apostles like Paul and Peter and James. So, but yeah, he was a martyr, so his faith cost him his life. But of course, it's not a cost as a Christian. We believe that as our life is giving in as an offering, as a living offering, and that we recognize ourselves as, in a sense, already dead to ourselves and alive to God and to all the plans that he has. And for some, it meant being faithful to death, like for Jesus Christ. So that's one of our church father, and we can be grateful for the faithfulness. And like you said, for at various positions, people are expressing the Christian life, whether it is in the normal reality of the world, people working as Christians, or whether it's people who've been called into monasteries and different ways of life, and how they can bless us through their reflections and rules of life or way of life that can inform how we can best live our Christian life. So let's start looking at Genesis, and we've now kind of jumped, because we had a break last week, to Genesis 41 verse 25 to 45, which is the story of Joseph. And we're coming to quite not the end yet, but actually the part of finally the dreams of Joseph's, if you know a little bit of the story that he has, coming to becoming a reality. So that's just after Pharaoh had dreams that no one could interpret. Now Joseph is before the Pharaoh because someone had had remembered what happened in prison and how Joseph had interpreted the dreams that they had. And so he's now in front of the Pharaoh. Thank you very much, Lynn.
Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will surely bring it about. Now, therefore, Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers of the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be reserved for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find anyone else like this, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Removing his signet ring from his hand, Pharaoh put it on Joseph's hand. He arrayed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot of his second in command, and they cried out in front of him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set them over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one can lift up a hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Josaphat Paneah, and he gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. Thus Joseph gained authority over the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. No. For the reading is taking from actually the epistle that we are exploring at St. James Church, Galatians, and we are in the chapter that we've been looking at on Sunday morning, but a little bit further, chapter 3, verse 23 to chapter 4, verse 7. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinary end until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. My point is this: heirs, as long as they are minors, are no better than slaves, though they are the owner of all the property. But they remain the guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, while we were minors, we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Two quite different readings. And if you're aware, in the Church of England, we at Lent have material called Draw Near. And I do encourage you, if you listen to this podcast, to explore, if you have an Android, go to Google Play, and if you have an Apple, to their own platform. And it's called Everyday Faith, so Everyday Faith. And very easy to download. There is no subscription, so you don't have to put any emails. It goes straight into the reflection. And this week, we're going to explore prayer and looking at the Lord's Prayer, and starting today with adoration. And make me think of actually the first reading as we go through the story of Joseph. Yes, it is about Joseph and his part and the faithfulness, but above all, in the background and above it, is all about God's faithfulness. God who gives the dreams, and it seems that this dreams becomes like a curse for Joseph because it brings jealousy and he's sold into slavery and things doesn't seem to work very well for him. But he seeks to be faithful to his faith and to his God and to be a person of integrity. And through his life, God is in the background, continuing to ensure that his plans, his desires, which are good news, and that's what we read in that reading. It is good news, not just for Joseph or Joseph's family, but good news, not just for Egypt, but as we will see, it's going to be good news for countries around. Joseph will be an instrument of God's grace and redemption to ensure that a whole country and countries around do not suffer from the upcoming famine, but have a way out, a kind of a way of salvation. But if that's salvation of the body, here we hear salvation of much more important, which is not just spirit, as we think, you know, the most important is what's going to happen when we die, but salvation in the sense of God's renewing the whole of creation and bringing about healing of that curse, which is sin and death. And so in Galatians, it's all about that, making sure that the good news of Jesus Christ doesn't get distorted by a dangerous teaching, which was kind of reverting to, instead of faith, to works, to building a kind of religion where it's all about what we do for God and how then God all us because we think we are so good. And it's all about, no one is good enough to reach to God. And we've all been imprisoned to that reality that we can't please God in our own strength. It is impossible. God is holy. God is perfect. It's not about earning our place in God's presence. And so Paul had to deal with the reality of the time for Jews was the law. What is it about then, the law? And on Sunday, I explained maybe some pictures can help us understand what the law was all about. And the picture of an escort and a picture of a CT scanner. The law was there to help us, to lead us to the time when God will reveal his promise. He had to promise that one will come and bring about deliverance. You could say, if we like, the kind of the Disney cartoons, it's all about the upcoming of a curse because of a witch and then the deliverance of that curse. But there is something of that in the coming of Christ, delivering us from the curse of sin and death. And the law had an important role. It had the role to preserve because sin is destructive, and it was giving us like a guardian so that Israel's would not be destroyed by their own rebellious heart because they were, as the others, as rebellious as anyone else. But they had received a structure, kind of boundaries to help them, a little bit like as parents, we give structure to our children because we know it's healthy. Otherwise, it will just be, it will be wild and it will be destructive for their upbringing. But it doesn't solve the real problem. And so the law works a little bit like this CT scanner. It scans what really is going on inside us, that in our hearts, we need to be transformed and healed and forgiven. And then it leads as an escort to Jesus. And here it says Jesus is born under that law. He's fully human, but he redeems us from the law by bringing salvation through his death, by releasing it, and by bringing the promise that he had done to Abraham, the promise that whoever lives by faith will receive from God the promises, the inheritance. And then he speaks a bit strangely about a minor and a child, and if you're a child, but there is an inheritance, you can't inherit still today until you're 18. And he thinks about the law like that. The inheritance was always there, it was to be coming, but it couldn't be released because Jesus hadn't died and risen from the dead. So Israel's was like a minor waiting for that promise to come to fruition. And he says, but it has now come in Jesus. The inheritance is available for Jews, but also for Gentiles, for everybody. And so that's why he says, now through Christ, the fullness has come, the good news, the inheritance has been released and can be experienced by anyone, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a man or woman, whether you're free or whether you are slave. All can experience the promise of forgiveness, the coming of the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and transforms us, and the reality of being part of God's family and being able to call God Abba, Father. So it's an amazing good news. That's why the gospel is called good news. And in our prayers on Sunday, Martin reminded us that there are two ways to be a witness. We use our words, and we need to use them carefully, but we need to use them. But also we use our lives to shine light into our world. So let's pray. Let's pray as Christian in the time of Lent that the church will be light to the world, will be salt to the world in practice through our ministries and service and in word, so that many more can come to the realizations that in Jesus Christ, all the promises that God has for his creation, the promises of grace and forgiveness, of healing and wholeness, and a future of renewing all creation and restoring it, not just to its original, like what we hear in Genesis, but to an enhanced original, to life in all its fullness, as it was meant to be. So that brings kind of hope in my heart for today. And that's kind of my reflection on these two passages. Is there anything for you that was an encouragement or something that you picked up?
Oh, nothing. Well, nothing very profound, but it just how easy it is to slip into bad habits and, you know, and it, this is the reminder, isn't it? It's just keeping your eye fixed and then, it's not a tick box exercise. It can so easily become, isn't it? Well, I've done this, I've done that, so I'm all right. And actually missed the whole point. So I took Sarah's recommendation last Sunday, not yesterday, the Sunday before, is about reading Galatians, the whole book in one go. And so I thought, well, I haven't done that, certainly recently. So I took two and did it, and I read it through the Message. And yes, it's a really powerful book, and it is a good reminder to all of us. I say us, I say me, you know, that to keep your eye on Jesus. And yeah. Quite sure that that connects with what you've said, but
it's exactly what
and I like the way you describe, you know, that the accompaniment, you know, and I can remember the pictures that you showed on the screen yesterday, so definitely worth anybody that hasn't watched it on YouTube, it's definitely worth a watch.
We need picture, because it is I think there were issues of the time of Jesus that were very pressing, you know, the law and Abraham's, and something that maybe to our modern ears is very, very, very distant. So it needs quite some unpacking, and then to bring it to our reality.
You do wonder if some of the leaders, this is a bit, actually made it more difficult than it seemed, more difficult than it is, you know, make the hurdles higher.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, and it is getting back to the basics.
I think last week, I think it was in Everyday Faith, as we look at worship, they were thinking about the two thieves on the cross. No, actually, it is about, no, it is my podcast. No, I remember. So it's this week's podcast. As at St. James, we do a podcast, and then it's the second word. And today you will be with me. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus promised that today you will be with me in paradise. I mean, this guy couldn't do nothing to deserve
No.
anything.
No.
The only thing he did is to be honest. He says, I deserve, you know, we are here because we deserve, but this man is innocent. So he recognized his condition, and he just trusted the authority of Jesus to bring him into paradise. And Jesus promised, and he didn't have to wait. He said, today. There's not going to be a unfortunately, like our brothers and sister in the Catholic that developed this theology of purgatory. It's kind of nonsense. There's not going to be a time we need to be made holy for those who didn't really get there. You know, in Christ we are there. There is no need for purgatory. Today he said, you will be with me in paradise because you've trusted, you've recognized who I am and what God is doing through Jesus. So, yeah.
And as his disciples, that is, you know, that's what we're called to tell people. It's never too late.
Yeah, it's never too late.
It's never too late.
So let's pray for the life of the church in this season of Lent, for its testimony, for our bishop, for our leaders, for our own life, and for the need we see in our world. I think in Psalm we read the reality of dictatorship, or when powers are denying the reality of God and bringing oppressive governing. Lord, we thank you that today, in three different readings, you remind us that you are the God who sees, who knows, and who acts.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.